On the Wind by Golana. It's from a CD by the same name. Beautiful, beautiful, peaceful Native American flute music. The piece you heard just at the beginning of the show was a piece of another show that we are going to put together. We already have together for you. It's in the can in case we can't do a show. So you'll be able to see or hear that at some other time. This is BBS Radio. Everything happens for a reason, and so we don't know what the reason for that piece coming on is, but this is beautiful, wonderful, freedom-fighting BBS, and we love it. So whatever happens, we go with the flow. I'm Sherry Edwards, your host for this hour, and the show is Sound Health. Thank you for joining us. We like to bring you information and ideas about sound health. We also love hearing from you. We love answering your questions in the hopes of making your day a bit brighter, your life more full, and your hearts alive with joy. That music, Feather on the Wind, I love that. I played it because we have a guest on who speaks to feathers on the wind. She's psychic and a medium extraordinaire. She speaks to your loved ones and friends who've passed on, and she's going to be taking questions tonight, today. We'll be giving you those numbers in just a minute, but I have two short announcements. One, I am very, very happy about, ecstatic, honored, on the front page of BBS Radio, there is an announcement right in the middle, very prominent, says, free vocal profiling live and sound health presents Sherry Edwards' new Nano Voice software program, free. Install now. You just click on install now, and you've got one of our computer programs for free. We want to spread the word about what we do here at the Sound Health Research Institute, so we created this little program. There's a manual with it, and there's a press release to it. Tell all your friends. Everybody download it, because I think that we are going to be the option to the healthcare system when the whole kit and caboodle goes down. Okay, that's one. Let us hear from you about that. And two, we are going to be at the Health Freedom Expo in Chicago this weekend, coming up Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's at the Schomburg Center. If you want more information about that, go to healthfreedomexpo.com. And our guest is going to be there with us. Kelly, you here?
I am here.
Are you going to the expo for pleasure, or are you going to go to work?
A little bit of both. I am going to be there collecting contact information for people to put to be guests on my show, but that's not work for me. The other pleasure is that I get to bring all of my wonderful sound health equipment with me, and I get to play in person with you and your team. So I'm gonna be at your booth hanging out, and just checking out, just playing with all the programs, because I took your classes online.
Kelly, tell us about your show.
Well, I do the Kelly MacLeod Show on Psychic Radio, and we are on HD3, 99.5 HD3. But for those people that do not own an HD radio, you can reach us psychiconair.com. And we are, the Kelly MacLeod Show is on Monday through Friday live, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. That's Eastern Standard Time. And then it gets rebroadcast from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And Jerry is a frequent guest, and we bring everything on a total body level, body, mind, spirit, and soul. I do calls, and I take questions, and I do many readings online or on the air. But I also have wonderful guests, and again, Sherry's on, you know, nearly at least twice a month, and she tantalizes all of our listeners with the plethora of information and knowledge that she has, you know, with vocal profiling and now this wonderful new program, this Nano Voice. So we get to do lots of fun stuff, and we get to host lots of great guests.
And this is CBS Radio.
It is. It's CBS Radio.
That's important stuff. How'd you get connected with that?
Well, one of the radio stations, and it's one of Detroit's, well, I should say Detroit's biggest country music, they were doing a special at Halloween, and they kind of thought that I was, they wanted to find somebody that, you know, ha-ha, can talk to the dead people for a special Halloween show. So they called me up and said, you know, we heard that you were recommended. Can you come in and do a show? And I said, sure. And when I got there and I started taking calls and doing what I do, then suddenly they looked at me and they said, what the heck are we going to do with her? And they thought it was supposed to be kind of more of a gimmick as opposed to the real deal was validation. And then when CBS started realizing that the new age and holistic healing market was so huge, they decided that they wanted to capitalize on it. And so they formulated Psychic Radio. We have four show hosts. I get to kick off the morning first thing, and I get to bring, you know, everybody from every single walk of life that, you know, in practice. And so they said, we've got this new endeavor. Would you be interested in hosting your own show?
So you have angels on, I've heard. You have that. You have predictions. You talk to people. You ask questions.
We have authors and musicians. We have specialists in different areas. Coming up tomorrow, we have somebody who is an herbalist. And she does healing, power of herbs. We've got the Mayan calendar. We have a paranormal party. It's a spooky event, but not really. So we have authors and all different people. We've got pretty much the show is mine, and I can do whatever I want, within good taste, of course.
I just find it incredible that you're on 3 hours a day. How do you do that?
You know, I'm pretty amazed that I am on there, too. I never thought I'd ever run out of anything to say, but talk radio 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, it really is amazing, and it's been a challenge. It's been a beautiful opportunity because it's allowed me to put people like you, and it makes me step outside the box, Sherry. I do what I do, and that's where my limit was at, but then this gave me an opportunity to learn and understand what other people do, and to be able to feature them, and as they're on my show, I get to hear all the wonderful things that everybody gets to do with their life. And this just helps me to not only bring it to the listeners, but I get to broaden and expand my horizons right on the spot, too. So it really is a beautiful, it's a two-way street, that's for sure.
And how can people listen to you?
They can, if they have an HD radio, then it's 99.5 HD3 or psychiconair.com. And you can, again, you can listen live and call in, not only for me. I mean, Sherry will be on again in another week, and we'll be talking more about her program. You get to call in and ask the questions to the guests, as well as our listeners get to call in and ask personal life questions. Maybe it's, you know, their own guidance and clarity. Where am I going? What am I doing? Do you see this change coming up? As well as connect with loved ones that have passed on.
This psychic live on the air, that's internet, isn't it?
It is.
And they can also listen to it through your own website, right?
They can. KellyMacLeod.com.
Spell MacLeod.
MacLeod.
Okay, just KellyMacLeod.com. If they just put your name in, though, they're going to find lots of good stuff, right?
Yeah, we just did a Google search today, and it was amazing how many different sites came up.
Kelly, why do you think people think you talking to people who have passed over is spooky?
I think that there has been a lot of old taboo. There's a lot of religious dogma that has gone on through the time. And, you know, I think they've really thought about, okay, well, we've been taught that when you're dead, you're dead. Well, I've been taught a little bit different. And I've been on my own religious / spiritual path. And back then, I thought that was, you know, kind of weird thing, too. But I'm finding that people are now, they need something more out there. Sherry, just like your service and your program provides, people are looking for answers, and they're tired of getting, you know, led, you know, through everything by their nose. They want answers. They want those questions. And a lot of the medical community, a lot of the religious community, literally throws their hands up and say, I don't know. And people need facts. They need answers. They need some insight. They need a glimpse of hope. And before, you know, talking to a psychic or a medium or the seance thing, everything was, you know, evil spirits and black auras. We've had so much negativity, you know, tied to the whole psychic and spiritual world.
Do you think that was because the church wanted their place there, and they wanted paid for it through tithing to the church, because they speak to God? I mean,
I really do believe, because, you know, I find it interesting that I can hold church every single day in my life, and I don't have to leave my own, I don't even have to get dressed if I don't want to, but I have that conversation with God every day, which, that's what I call them, you know, our listeners could be whatever, Allah, you know, Buddha, whoever, but I hold that conversation with him every day. And I feel that the more people go into the spiritual realm that we're in, and they start to hold church, per se, in their own heart, regardless of where they're at, then I do believe, I mean, it is a form of control.
Well, why can't we do that for ourselves? Why can't I just sit here and talk to my grandma? I mean, I do anyway, but well, most people wouldn't.
You know, we get signs and symbols and messages from our loved ones all the time, but people just aren't as trained. Same thing with, some of the skills that you have in hearing people. People don't listen as much. And so I like to explain to my clients that we get messages, we just don't see them the same way. We're expecting to hear the voice from grandma. But instead, the other side, the people in the spirit world, give us signs and symbols in a very different way. Maybe it's through a smell. Maybe it's a repetitive number. Maybe it's finding a feather or pennies every time you're thinking about them. Maybe you're thinking about grandma and you're remembering that favorite song. Turn on the radio and there's that song.
So a lot of it comes in images and symbols.
Yes.
So you do the radio show, and now you're talking about you have personal clients, too?
I do. I have a full-time client-based schedule. So I get to, the radio only came about 3 months ago.
It's Sherry?
Yes.
Oh, I hate to interrupt. This is Heather.
Hi, Heather.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Kelly.
Hey, Heather, how are you?
I'm great. I can't wait to see you in Chicago.
I had to call
in because you are one of my most favorite guests ever.
Thank you.
Awesome. So we're really on the air, huh, Heather?
So we are. We are.
Okay. Heather.
And Kelly, I have to tell you, you are amazing. You have amazed the whole staff with your intuitions and the conversations that we've had. The staff is truly astounded.
You know, last time Kelly was on the show, I thought we were going to fall off our chairs.
Well, actually, I think one of us did.
They're still talking about it.
Well, I have to tell you guys, your whole staff, I love you guys so much that I am so close to wetting my pants until I get to Chicago. I can't even, I told my friend Dave, he's coming, and I said, look, you've got, if you can spare some time, you've got to come and hang out with these guys. They're the best ever. And I'll tell you, Sherry, my producer is so beyond fascinated with you and the work that you do. He is like blown over. He's digging and reading about you every day.
You know, the stuff I do used to be called psychic. We're just having a computer do it now. And, you know,
people are
not astounded by what we tell them like they are with you, but they're surprised that a computer knows it and a computer can bring that out of their subconscious. So I think what we've done is just kind of put psychic stuff on the computer, because we really don't tell people things that they couldn't have known some other way.
Well, speaking about like this whole end voice and the nano voice, I have to share my own personal story that not only was I blown away. Now, for our listeners, I took the class. I've got so much. I'm a dabbler. I have so much on my plate. And you guys know that I have not followed up with all of my stuff. I mean, this is the first time I've really gotten a chance to break out my equipment and my programs. My friend, we ordered a tone box for her, and she's thinking about taking the class. She has a tooth that they did a root canal, but they had to leave a piece of the root in. And the reason why is if they went in there, there was a possibility that they would paralyze one side of her face. So this root flares up, and it causes immense pain in her jaw, her neck, and her shoulder. She came over. We were going to do her tones. I got the SMAD box, and I said, okay, let's try this. And we looked up real simple. First of all, we did the invoice profile, and she almost fell off her chair, and she said, my goodness, I can't even believe how beyond awesome and accurate that is. So she was excited just seeing it. She started getting a pain, and she said, I hope that this doesn't flare up, because if it does, I have to take so much Tylenol and Motrin, and there's nothing that will touch this pain in my jaw and my neck. So I'm trying to figure out tones for her. Do you know, she put it on and she said, oh my gosh, she said, literally, she said, what did you do? It stopped it right in its tracks.
What sound did you, you can't tell me the frequency, but how'd you find it? Just from her print?
From the charts that you have, Sherry.
Good grief.
It just, we read and I said, okay, so this one, and I think we were looking at the G sharp or this and that. And do you know that when we looked in her profile, her sound, her wave, do you know that that was one of them that dropped out of the, I think it was either real high or it was real low, and it was something that she needed.
It was pain, something would be real high.
Okay, so that's one that it flared at. But she was talking, she was just talking about me being a friend and how much fun we have together. And it was funny that we were looking at paying attention to the notes that were real low and the ones that were real high. And do you know that that's what we found? We saw all the note charts and we said, okay, well, let's do this one because this pertains to the face and the neck and the jaw. And we found, we just picked one of the cards out.
And hey, guys, for you out there listening, this is the program that we're offering you free. So go to BVS Radio right on front and download it. Install it now.
It's amazing.
People,
I mean, I don't know of anybody who would not, you know, I mean, and I have it. I used to have a storefront, so I have professional astrology. I have professional numerology. I do my own psychic reading. But who in the world ever heard? This is like, it tops the charts on everything, literally, because who ever heard of your own voice tattling on you?
That's a great way to put it. You know, but I think people knew about this all along because we soothe our babies with our sound. People groan and moan sounds when they're ill, and that helps them. I think it's been here for like billions of years. We just didn't know how to to use the voice in a way that was predictable. You know, you study with John Edwards, and when he says, talk to me, you know, when he's talking to somebody, it just takes a word or two from his person, and then he knows about them. He connects to them through the frequencies of their voice. And I think that's an ancient talent that he has, and I just think we all had it, and then we became afraid of it somewhere, either through the church preaching, and there's always some hidden agenda there, that they didn't want us to have a connection to the other side, because we could see things and tell things and no warnings.
Or maybe we wouldn't need them.
Oh, you said it. Oh, that's great.
And it's the truth. It really is the truth. I find that there are so many psychics out there, and I am one, and I tell people, thank you so much for paying my bills, but I don't want you to become dependent on me because I can't be responsible for that. And I find so many people out there, they want to create dependency because then that keeps their pockets lined. And through fear, we keep a dependency going on. And if people start thinking for themselves and owning their own stuff, their own responsibility, then they don't need us.
Do people come to you to verify what they think or what they already know or the options they already have?
They do. Sometimes they just need to, somebody who doesn't even know them, an outside, to give them the same information that they already thought themselves. But a lot of times we don't trust our inner intuition, and we do need somebody on the outside that has a no win, no lose kind of a, you know, it's a neutral.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they do, absolutely.
Well, people do that with the invoice. They just keep taking different prints. Okay, I want that job, and they talk about that, and then, okay, but I got offered that job. So they can see which one fills them up better. And on some psychic level, maybe you're picking up that this one is better because they're more expressive about it, or they talk about it more, or maybe there's less in their voice. So,
well, we talk about changing our frequency and our vibration. I happen to be a clairvoyant medium, so when I have somebody, I do probably 50% of my business in person. I do another 40% on the phone, and now I'm doing about 10% on the radio. And I think you're right, Sherry. When I'm tuning into that, I'm tuning into a vibration and a frequency. I can tell when something makes somebody's heart sing by being sensitive to that energy that's coming from them.
Do you become their energy and feel it, or do you sort of keep it disconnected and you just read the stuff, like a picture?
A little bit of both. Not always. When I connect a lot of times with the people that have passed on, there's a lot of times that the spirit will give me that immense happiness, that, you know, horrible sadness. Sometimes I will be overwhelmed with the feeling of grief and sorrow. So they will kind of pour that out on me. Sometimes I feel a heart attack, or I'll get that anxious, like, explosion in my chest. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, yes, but I don't keep it and carry it with me. After, when I'm done, I'm done.
So you automatically disconnect?
Yeah. Yep.
Do you get warnings for people, like you see an accident or something and you try to contact them and say, this is what I see?
I've learned to normally not do that, only because what would happen is when you're in tune all the time, it becomes extremely draining because you are being bombarded with all of those energies.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to be in tune all the time, and I'd see somebody, and I just immediately blend in there. But I teach a lot of my students now, it's rude to intrude. Because if you automatically start tuning into people's energies, and they've had a really bad day, do you know what kind of crap you're going to walk into?
And
maybe they don't want you there.
And it's hard to know what's yours and what's theirs, too.
It really is. So when I know that I have permission, and sometimes I'll be at the grocery store, and, you know, who knows, my basket might bump your basket, and aisle four of the frozen section. But I always tell people that I know, I have learned, I've become so in tune with spirit and with energy that I know when I can open my mouth and when I can't. Just because you don't have an appointment with me, the people on the other side, the loved ones, will orchestrate you being in aisle four with me and me being there at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I somehow know when, you know, maybe it's somebody who is a very religious person that would totally poo-poo what I do altogether and give me this, you know, like I'm marked with the sign of the beast.
Yes.
So suddenly it's like, when they ask me what I do for a living, I'll say, oh, I'm an author. Or I'll say, I'm a certified hypnotherapist, because I am. And I know to not mention the word psychic medium. And it almost 99% of the time, my intuition is very, very right with that.
Because it would really make them uncomfortable?
That and the fact that sometimes there's just no use trying to explain something to people that are that hard-headed.
Yeah, don't cast your pearls before swine. For those of you who want to call and ask Kelly a question, the toll-free number in the U.S. is 877-876-5227, Canada 888-815-9756, and the direct line is 530-876-3222, and you can always send us an email, radio@vocalprofileinc.com, where a lot of our people like to touch with the guests in that way. Kelly, why do you think some of this has been associated with things like witchcraft, or is it witchcraft?
I think that anything that is outside of the norm, I really do believe that we've been taught at such a young age that there is a right and a wrong, a black and a white, and that if you're different, it's just not acceptable. And I really do believe that I find it so amazing. There's passages in the Bible that where Jesus said, bring me a seer. Well, a seer was, I mean, it's a different way. Prophecy. A clairvoyant is a seer. Prophecy, isn't that somebody who prophesizes the future? I was doing prophecy in the church, and, you know, as long as I'm in the church building, then I'm a great person, I'm a great worker for God. The minute I step outside and I'm doing prophecy, then I'm a fortune teller.
We just got an email in. It says, you didn't finish talking about the clients that Kelly does and what an appointment's like. Okay, can we jump back to that a minute?
Sure.
I think that happened right before Heather called. How do they get in touch with you, number one?
They can either go to my website, kellymcleod.com, or they can call me. My office number is 1-888-KELLY-4-U. That's K-E-L-L-Y, the number 4, the letter U. They can email me at kelly.inspires@yahoo.com. And we just schedule an appointment. My website has all the information about scheduling appointments, the cost, what they can expect out of the reading.
So it's
and
like an hour or half hour? Or
it's 45 minutes. I record on CD for people. So that way, after, whether it's in person or over the phone, you get a CD. I mail that right out to you. And it can be what I tell people about the readings. The readings are a combination of the most important information going on in your life, any questions that you have that you would like guidance or clarity on, as well as connecting and communicating with loved ones that have passed on that wish to communicate with you.
I have to sneeze. That's terrible. Have you ever had the question, tell me from a past life? Tell me from a past life why I'm fat?
Yes, I have had people that have asked questions like that. My sister is funny because we have been heavy overweight all of our lives, and we are people, both of us have gone through weight loss surgery. And my sister said, I know why I'm fat, because I was probably a really skinny thing in my past life, and I was really mean to people, so now I got saddled with it. But I do believe that sometimes it is an issue like that, to where it's in order to be a humbling experience, that I believe a lot of times past life issues were to, if you don't figure that out, then you got karma and you have to play it out in this life. So I do believe that some people are very beautiful people, and the ego goes along with it. And therefore, in order to really feel like, you know, it's kind of like that movie Shallow Hal. In Shallow Hal, the girl's real thin, and then, you know, she kind of flips back and forth. She ends up being, you know, really heavy. But I do believe that people need to, several reasons. I believe that they need to know what it's like to be in a role reversal with somebody who's very thin and doesn't worry about things. But I also believe, Sherry, that we know that emotional trauma causes physical dis-ease. And our weight is no different. What are, you know, I tell a lot of my clients, it's not what you're eating, it's what's eating you.
Yeah.
You know, and we find that we emotionally eat in order to protect ourselves. So many people, so many children, adults that have been in abusive relationships and marriages and or sustain abuse in one way, shape, or form, they eat to comfort. Just like you talked about how we use our voice to soothe our babies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I'm being mean and nasty to you, my voice isn't soothing you. You're going to go find comfort someplace else.
Well, it used to be, too, in olden times, if you were overweight, that was a sign that you were affluent. And only rich people could overeat.
Oh, absolutely. Rubenesque. You wouldn't be a fatty. You'd be Rubenesque.
Uh-huh.
And so, in the South, my family used to say, you know, they'd tell my mom and they'd say, oh, honey, you're so thin. Have you been sick?
Yeah.
So that was a sign of health, too, if you were plump.
Oh, boy, it's turned around now, isn't it?
Yes, it has.
I went to California recently, and just walking on the streets, I just felt like a tub of lard, because everybody looks so wonderful.
But at what cost do they look that wonderful?
Well, the parents looked wonderful, but the children were all over. Not, well, 99% of the kids that I saw were overweight. That's incredible. And I don't know if as a society we're paying for something, but I wonder if you could do a research project and let's ask people under hypnosis or whatever. So I can guess it's going to be they were starved, either for food or affection. Like
right.
Like people who don't have a lot of dopamine, they need comfort food. And people who have really low serotonin, they need comfort food because the food somehow triggers their neurotransmitters. So if we could do a project, maybe find 5 or 6, 10 people who have weight issues, and let's divide them into categories. These people have their weight in their butt. These people have their weight all over. These people have belly weight. And let's see if there's some, if you can find some hypnosis commonality.
I believe I can, because I have a client in particular that I'm thinking of that I will be meeting next week with. And she was a client of mine for a long time, carried a lot of weight. And as a matter of fact, she was abused as a child.
Do you want people who are listening to this who want to be part of the project to contact you?
Sure, they certainly can.
I think the easiest way to get in touch with Kelly is just to listen to her show and jump on and call her early in the morning. Oh, I hate the morning, but you're on 6 a.m.
6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if they don't want to call in live, then they can listen to the rebroadcast. Of course, they're not going to be able to get the same effect. But 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday as well.
99.5 on HD3 radio or Psychic Live on the Air. Is that what it's called?
Psychic on Air.
Psychic on Air.
PsychicOnAir.com. And that has, oh, you can find, there's a plethora of information on there, that's for sure. And then on my website, you know, we have a new website that's being compiled, and we're going to have some really great features on there. We'll have some great interviews and stories, and Sherry will have her own corner that that she will be putting out information and be able to connect with our listeners as well. So I'm excited. Every time you're on the show, Sherry, the people just go crazy.
Oh, I love that idea. Well, we're trying to get information to them as fast as we can. Kelly, when you do readings for people, like if they want to call in now, they could ask you a question.
Yep.
And do you understand everything that you see or get to them, or do you have to ask them questions?
Whenever they ask a question, like if they had a specific question or if they said, you know, my so-and-so passed away, then, you know, I always tell people I can't guarantee. I can get the psychic input on life and their questions and their guidance. I can't always guarantee that the person that they're looking to connect and talk to can't always guarantee that they will come up during that time, because we know that radio, we get pressed for time and things are so short. When I do an individual appointment with people, I can concentrate that energy on that particular person. 99.9% of the time, I would say that we definitely reach the person they're looking for. But most of the time when I'm doing a reading, I will tune in and give the information, maybe the first 15, 20 minutes of the reading, I give the information that I'm getting so I don't have to do what they call cold reading and, you know, try to bait them for information. And this should be, you know, like very distinct information. The same thing with connecting with loved ones. You know, it might work for some people, but I was trained better than that. I do a lot mimicking the style or imitating, you know, from John Edward and the, you know, going in. I don't give this, oh, grandma's here and she says she loves you. That's just not my style. It's too fluffy. I can't guarantee, if you can't guarantee who you're talking to, I'm not happy. So usually we can do a little bit of both. If somebody has a question and they want to call in, then they can, you know, they can call in and, you know, ask that question. I can tune into that energy. Or if there's somebody that has passed on, I can try to tune into the energy of the spirit and see if this is exactly who we're talking to.
I'm wondering how you can narrow down and do this while you're trying to do a show at the same time. That boggles my mind.
You know, you go into an automatic mode. Sherry, I have seen you, not seen you do it, but when I took my classes, same thing, we did my voice pattern, and you literally started rattling off numbers and formulas off the top of your head because you were so natural at doing that. And it was something that you went through, and I went, Lord, have mercy. I mean, how did she do it? But that's your natural forte.
Yeah, it's just automatic with me. The information just kind of funnels through. I explain it like if somebody asks me what I had for breakfast, it's just in there. You know, it just drops in. But if somebody asks me what I'm going to eat tomorrow lunch, I have to think about it. It's a different kind of thinking, and it is kind of like just channeling. It just passes through. You're like the radio, and blah, 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 blah. Here it is, and it's there. And, you know, I can't explain where the information comes from.
Well, and that's what you're doing is you're tapping into a higher source. And the same thing I learned, that was probably my greatest gift from doing, when I started doing radio, is that I realized that I could go in and out and connect in with the information like flipping a light switch.
Was that the hardest part of learning to do it?
It was more about them putting me on a time limit when they hold up their fingers and they say, you have 2 minutes to knock out this call. Whereas I'm more of an in-depth person, I need to give you this solid information. So I had to learn how to be real quick, condensed, get right to. And some of the readings I'm not 100% happy with whenever they do, you know, put me on the spot like that.
Well, why would we think that our departed loved ones are smarter than us and we should take advice from them anyway?
Well, Because whenever you're in that state, whatever you call it, I mean, I call it heaven, because the other side is what you make of it. If you love to be on a roller coaster, I've seen kids on the other side that could never run, never dance, and they're just having a good old time on the other side. But because there is no time and space, it's like quantum, there's no time and there's no space and there's no boundaries, they can see things as it's happening and going on, and they can see when things are coming up. So they kind of have some input. They can help us to understand things. They can help guide us, but they cannot make decisions for us.
So they kind of see things without all the prejudices that we have.
Yes. And they see it totally clear and unconditional love.
Do people ever come up to you at a party and say, oh, I hear you're a psychic. What number am I thinking?
All the time.
You want to slap them?
Well, I never said I was the most perfect person. But, you know, every once in a while, you can play. I think Nikki related that before. I love my Aunt Sherry. I love my Aunt Sherry. I love my Aunt Sherry. And sometimes we get to play. You know, you have here some people that are naturally inquisitive. And if you pose the question to me, I love to answer your question. However, when you come from a place of, like, I owe it to you, and it's kind of on that demanding side, I will automatically shut down. I have learned that, and that is my way of basically saying, no, screw you, make an appointment, and we'll talk about it then.
You know, I just can't see somebody going up to a dentist at a party and say, hey, look at my tooth. You think I need a cleaning? You know?
Oh, that's a horrible image. Well, I talk about this in my book. There's three responses that I get from people, and I've learned to really play it. I have my mind completes pictures. I'm a very visual person. So when somebody will find out what I do, and I don't read palms, by the way, they'll stuff their hand out in front of me and they'll say, okay, read my palm. And I go into the Bugs Bunny mode when he's got the Swami hat on, mm-hmm. and he's got a paint brush full of red paint, and he slaps the palm and he says, okay, your palm's red. And that's, I see myself doing this to the people. Then you've got the other people that are very religious, and then they do this, you know, like, oh my gosh, sign of the devil kind of thing, and the sign of the cross to get me away from them. And then you've got your third category, and these I love the most. Which was funny, Sherry, I never knew this until you talked about it. People, I don't think that they even realize that they're doing this. People will say, they will go into slow motion like the bionic woman or man. Suddenly their hands slowly goes up to their ears. They cover their ears and they'll say, are you reading my mind? And I look at them like, are you kidding me? What do you think? Your information is leaking out of your ears? Well, now I know that it really is leaking out of their ears, thanks to Sherry Edwards. And I look at them, and if they're very sassy people, and I know I can play with them, and I'm, depending on what kind of day I'm having, I will literally look at them and I'll say, I am reading your mind, and you should be ashamed of yourself.
You know, next time they stick out their hand, why don't you have a business card? You know, make an appointment.
That's a very good idea. I think I'll start doing that.
We did.
But Sherry, who knew that people's stuff was really coming out of their ears? I didn't until you told me.
I think God made it that way. You've talked about you wrote a book a couple times. Tell us about that.
My book is called Messages and Miracles from the Other Side. And I found that people were asking me the same questions over and over. Are my loved ones mad at me? Did they suffer? What happens with the suicide? So I took all their questions, and then I took some readings. The lessons that I've learned from people's loved ones that have crossed over, and because it's always a learning experience for me. And I took it and put it into a book format, help people to understand the clairsenses, clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, the different psychic abilities. And I've taken some of these stories and the lessons from that so that people can understand. It's a quick read. it's uncomplicated. It's very to the point, and you know, people can get it, they can go through it, and I encourage them to pass it along to someone else, especially if they're going through their own grieving process. It really does help people to understand the spirit world, what it is and what it isn't.
And they can get that from KellyMcLeod.com.
Yes.
Kelly, we have about 5 minutes total left, and we have a question from our listening audience.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Kim. My Uncle Glenn, who was a very water-oriented person, died by hanging November 1999, the same day the famous golfer was in the plane above the Midwest, and he died in it. It was ruled an accident, but many strange things happened before, like there was tampering with his tractor, and he and his wife went into their house, and lights and TVs were on. He was on the water committee for the state he lived in, blocking agricultural water being used for a resort. This went through after he died. I would like to know if he died by accident or murder. I think he was murdered, maybe even by a family member, over a misunderstanding that another relative found out about later. His name is Glenn.
Okay, let me, you know, and this is this done by email, Sherry?
Yes.
That makes it so hard because to give that energy and not to have that confirmation from the person who's asking
Kim,
about Glenn.
Can you call the station? In Canada, it's 888-815-9756, and you can disguise your voice if you want. So you can't really do this by surrogate, like me reading the email and feeling it.
I can, but it makes it more difficult because whenever I try to make sure that I'm talking to this Glenn, if the person doesn't, if they can't verify that it's really him, it makes it really difficult to get those answers through. I feel like that there was, I feel that he knew that he was going to pass, and it feels like to me that there was a lot that was going on. I feel like there was a lot that was really weighing down on him, not only emotionally, but I feel a lot of people breathing down his neck or down his back. So it's a very strange feeling, kind of like he's being hounded, and almost like he has to be very careful with what he says, what he does, and he has to really be very, very cautious on sharing too much information. Because it feels like the people around him will take the information and they will turn the tables on him at any given point in time.
Do you feel sometimes even the people who've passed over don't know what's happened to them?
Sometimes when they're very tragic, very sudden cases, mm-hmm. they do. They become a little bit disconnected from the body. And that's when we end up with a ghost situation. They don't know they're dead, so they don't cross over.
Do you have a feeling that even if Glenn knew, he wouldn't tell on the person because he didn't want to get a family member in trouble or something?
I think that Glenn knew that he was going to pass. I don't necessarily feel that this was murder. I feel that this was an accidental happening. But the feeling that he could have been murdered at any given point in time, or that people would be breathing down his neck, his back, gave him the feeling of being stalked. And that he has this, I believe that there was some type of an accident that took place.
Well, it says he died by hanging in November 1999. And it sort of sounds like that Kim is not real sure that he did it himself or somebody else helped him along. Kim could write to you, or she could call you, make an appointment, and
she could. She definitely could. At 1-888-KELLY-4-U, and or she could email me at kelly.inspires@yahoo.com. I feel that there was a little bit of foul play that went on. I'm not sure that somebody literally was the one that pulled the noose around his neck. I'm not sure that he did it himself, more like he might have done it himself at the direct command of somebody else.
Okay, but if it says it was ruled an accident, you know, we don't, I mean, did he fall on a rope that hung him, or?
And that's something that I would have to find out more about that with her.
Kim, is that you on the line?
Yeah, that's actually me.
Okay, you have about a minute, maybe two, if Donna let us go over.
Yeah,
Hi, Kim, how are you?
Go ahead and talk, Kim. What do you want to know?
I think so.
You think so what?
He was in a position which nobody could figure out. Yeah, he was in a position that they couldn't figure out how he got into that position by himself.
Okay.
No, he was in a very strange position.
Okay, it feels like to me, it's almost like I've got this feeling that he did it on his own.
Yeah.
But because he was commanded by somebody else to do so. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that could be. Well, I think it might have been a cousin of mine.
But why does it feel like he has... Do you have the November connection, birthday, anniversary, passing, or a significant event to you in November? Not necessarily with Glenn.
I'm just trying to think if there's anything in November passing. See, in my family, there's many, many deaths of people being hit by trains and such like this. They were mostly in the summer.
This feels like Glenn is being chased down, hunted down, like there's people breathing down his neck and his back.
Yeah, I know that was happening because he protected the water for the whole eastern part of that state.
Go ahead talking, but they're probably going to cut us off.
Okay.
Yeah, so he went to Washington and everything with the senators of the state, and he was protecting what the water was being used for, and there was a lot of people, including organized crime, who wanted to use that water for, like, you know, resorts.
Okay, now this makes sense to me. What he's showing me, do you know somebody who is going to, like, stand on the you know, platform with a noose around their neck? They're not going to push them, but they stand at gunpoint and tell the person to jump?
I see. That makes sense, because he was in a very strange position with his legs up.
Okay.
We couldn't figure it out why.
So it feels like to me, like, he had to take the step himself, and he was the one who had to execute it. That way somebody else's hands would not be dirty with it.
I see. I appreciate you telling me.
And it feels like to me that it was because he had to watch his back constantly, but
yeah.
I will tell you this much. If this was the case, he's better off where he's at as opposed to being hunted and stalked like an animal.
Yeah.
Because that's what I said.
It was a very abrupt thing that happened, and it's totally unexpected for everyone in the family. And he was very, very loved.
He didn't take his life on his own.
Yeah.
He was commanded to do so. But I'll tell you that there's no fingerprints, there's no handprints, there was no nothing to charge somebody else with.
That's exactly right.
So it's kind of like me saying, Kim, you have this noose around your neck, and I'm going to stand here and point a gun at you. And you will step off this platform, or else we're going to do whatever to you.
Yeah.
And,
then
you
have
no choice.
His wife.
What's that?
Yeah.
So you literally have no choice but to do what I tell you to do, because I'm going to kill you regardless.
Yeah.
And it feels like to me that he was running all the time with these people literally breathing down his neck.
Yeah. I think there was two groups, the water people and a family group, too, myself.
I think that somebody got paid off.
Yeah.
I really do. But he's okay on the other side.
I know. I think he is. But I always have wondered, and I think about it a lot, and we miss him very much. You know, and we appreciate who he was. And he was really, really a special person. So.
We've got to sign off. You guys can...
thank you so much.
Keep talking. Thank you for your call, Kim.
Yeah, I know. It's a little bizarre.
Thank you, Kelly, for being with us. We always love having you on the show.
Thank you for having me, Sherry.
And thanks for listening to BBS Radio. Hope you join us next week.